This is the Transcend Human Podcast, a show dedicated to the spirituality and psychology of the human condition. This year, however, we're taking a detour together as I venture into the world of writing. Each episode documents my journey from the big idea to a complete fiction novel. Join me through the highs and the lows that are sure to be part of this creative process. All right, friends, welcome back to the Transcend Human Podcast. Following up in our series called the Transcendent Trilogy, really should rename that because as those of you who are following along understand, we've kind of moved away from the concept of doing a trilogy and we're focusing in on a single novel, just trying to get something completed, trying to get my first draft done of this new concept, this new novel. So yeah, April 2025, welcome back. I have some fun ideas I'd love to talk through with you today, but before we get into those, I'll just give you an update on the current state of things with the family. So Tammy has been a jet setter for the past month or so. There was a chunk of time in there where she was gone for about 3 weeks. So she was gone for a work thing for a week, and then she flew out to New York, hung out with the girls for a couple weeks, and worked remote. And so, yeah, she's back. She's been back for a week or so now. And but that was a really big chunk of time there where she was gone. I was at home mostly by myself. Sometimes Tyler would show up and hang out with us. But yeah, so she got to do that. I love that about her. I love the spontaneity. I love how well she loves our kids and her willingness to just drop everything, fly out there, and hang out. So that's Tammy. Allie is back in school. She's just finishing up her first year of law school out in New York. So she headed into the city to see Tammy and Rachel on the weekends when Tammy was there. She still kind of connects with Rachel on a regular basis. So the two of them have each other out there on the East Coast. Speaking of Rachel, she's now out of school. So she is living the hard knock life of being an adult. Difficult for sure, living in New York, working multiple jobs to make ends meet, as well as keeping the eye open for openings and auditions in the world of music theater. So that's Rachel. When Tammy was out there, I think they took a road trip up the East Coast all the way into Maine, stopped in Boston for a day to see things. So it was really cool that they got to do that. As for me, nothing really changing. Sitting here working every day as usual, working remote, taking care of two cats, and just making sure the house doesn't burn down. So that is me. Tyler, school, work, all that jazz. We recently did a road trip to look at some schools in Northern California. And so he was able to see a couple schools, and I think he has finally decided on Chico State. So he will be heading up there this fall to finish out his 4-year degree. Yeah, happy for him. It's definitely been a interesting ride here, you know, with COVID happening and then just the way things turned out for him in high school. Moving from high school right into a community college, doing 2 years there, which it's good, right? Community college is free here in the state of California. So why wouldn't you, right? It's a pretty amazing opportunity. But at the same time, it doesn't really feel like college. That's the way he's kind of described it, that, you know, you go to school and it just feels like you're doing year 5 and year 6 of high school. Because you're living at home, you're just driving to this small campus, going into classrooms, and then leaving. So So it is what it is. But like I said, it's been a great opportunity being able to get those 2 years out of the way for free. So, and I think, you know, for a lot of kids, especially kids coming out of COVID, there was a lot of ambiguity as to what they even wanted to do with their lives, right? And I'm sure that was an issue for him. So being able to just go right into community college, knock out your general eds while you're still trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, it's a really good thing. So I love the fact that we're at this point, he's made some decisions, he kind of knows where he's headed for the next few years. So a lot of that stress and anxiety and stuff can go away. So I'm not 100% sure that that's the way he feels. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit of stress getting moved up there, getting used to the new place. But he's excited, and that's great. In terms of work, for me, don't really want to talk about that. Work is work. How about the world in general? Crazy, right? About the same. Pretty sure that Israel is still destroying Gaza. Pretty sure that Russia is still bombing Ukraine. We get executive orders handed down on a regular basis. We're in the middle of tariff wars. I don't know. It's crazy. The whole world is going crazy, but it is what it is. So we'll just leave that alone for now. But I hope you're having as much fun with it as I am. So there you go. All right. That said, let's jump into our content for today. Today's topic, tools for the journey. Chapter 1, I actually did start writing. Chapter 2, then I found this. Chapter 3, now I feel even better about my decision. Chapter 1, I actually did start writing. So as we talked about last time, I made that decision to kind of put the trilogy on hold and dive headlong into a standalone book, still based on one of the characters from the trilogy, but a standalone book that I could just sit down, knock out, and hopefully cut my teeth on as I get into this world of writing. So I had the plan, and I put it in place. Did all the initial stuff, developed a character list, determined the world, how it would be different than ours. You know, the fact that this story occurs just before the story I'll be telling in the trilogy. And so I started writing. I developed a prologue, very similar to the way I started the trilogy. A story from a long, long time ago, but one that really sets the stage for the journey that my protagonist is going to go on. And then from there, I jumped into the story, knocked out 2, maybe 3 scenes. I was really on a roll getting things done, and yet something just didn't feel right. I was telling the story, but if I asked myself, would I keep reading this if I picked this book up off a shelf? The answer was not an immediate yes. It was interesting to me because it's my story, right? I know where it's going. But the reader who picks the book up off of a bookshelf doesn't have that knowledge, right? So it doesn't really catch their attention immediately. And if it doesn't, the book is probably tossed aside, right? And I wasn't really sure. I didn't want my readers to say, you know, it's one of those books, it just starts really slow. But if you just push through it, it really gets good at the end. That's not what I was going for either, right? Because I just don't think that those people exist anymore, on the one hand, right? People who decide to make it through a slow beginning of a book, when there's things like Netflix and Hulu, social media, there's so many other things a person could be doing. So I have a feeling that a lot of people aren't just going to push through a slow book at the beginning to get to the good part, right? So that's when I started to slow down. Stopped writing as often. I began procrastinating. I could find, you know, excuses as to why I couldn't get up early and keep pushing it down the field. But at the end of the day, it's just because I wasn't confident in the story. Chapter 2, then I found this. So while I was floundering around in this like quicksand, knee deep in the hoopla, so to speak, I found another author on YouTube with all the answers. I say that tongue in cheek because you know by now the story of my writing life. I find articles, blog posts, podcasts, and now YouTubers that seem to have the silver bullet, right? The best advice for new authors trying to write their first book. how to finish your first draft. You know, typically from authors who already have one or more books published, right? Many of them seem like they know what they're talking about, right? But they all have different ideas and latch onto different theories on story structure, the importance of the story arc, or even how many acts there should be in a story, for that matter. I had coffee again with Mike a few weeks ago, and I told him what I'd found, and he listened. But my guess is that he was thinking, dude, not again. Just write your freaking book, for crying out loud. And that's true, right? He understands. He's heard all of the different rabbit holes I've gone down looking for the silver bullet, looking for that perfect outlining method in order to really work for me so that I can get to writing, right? But at the end of the day, it just keeps me from writing. And this time was no different, right? Or was it? That's my question. It feels like just any other thing, but at the same time, it also feels right. So in the beginning, I got into StoryGrid, and I've talked a lot about StoryGrid. And it just, at the end of the day, I think StoryGrid ate me for lunch. Why? Because it is a massive theory. It's a framework for writing a novel that almost requires you to become a structural engineer, right? Then once you can solve insane amounts of mathematical equations, then you should be good to go on your novel. To me, it made total sense, right? Nobody knows how to write a novel. It seems like one of the hardest things in the world to do. So if somebody was able to create a formula for it, surely it would look like StoryGrid, right? Because it's so deep. There's so many pieces to it. Well, maybe not. Once I started to back away from the StoryGrid and following it down to the letter, I really started to enjoy writing again. And I started to look for ways to plot a book that was a bit more simple. Now, before finding these tools, I was pretty confident I could use the hero's journey as my guide, right? Simply take the 11 or 12 elements from the journey and fit my protagonist and her story into those plot points and story beats. A huge departure from the StoryGrid mentality, allowing me to have a roadmap, but at the same time feel a bit more freedom to just write the story. And then I found this girl on YouTube. That doesn't sound very good, does it? But at the end of the day, she's a girl, she writes books, and she has a channel where she tells you how she did it, just like so many others. Her name is Natalie C. And to be clear, these ideas aren't specific to her, right? She's pulling other people's ideas and she's using them because they work for her. I'll leave a laundry list of links to her channel and some of her things in the show notes if you're interested. But basically what I found was fascinating, right? And she basically took these two tools and she uses them in concert to fully flesh out her novels. So I wanted to walk through these two tools with you just as another example of a way to plot or outline your book. Story structure, right? Now, these are going to sound very familiar, because we've talked about the StoryGrid, we've talked about, the hero's journey, we've talked about a three-act story structure. So there's all of these different things that we've already had conversations about, and this is just a variation on the theme, right? But it's interesting, like I said. So tool number one is called the story circle. Now again, this isn't hers, this is created by Dan Harmon, author known for his work on shows like Community and Rick and Morty. But at the end of the day, Dan Harmon took the hero's journey and he tried to strip it down even further to some base elements that he feels are a requirement for a good story. So from an article on studiobinder.com, I'll list it in the notes. It says, in the story circle, also called the story embryo or plot embryo, the eight steps follow a character's pursuit of a goal outside of their normal world. Their inevitable return finds them changed, whether or not they achieved their goal. To summarize, before we get into the eight steps, the story circle is a simple way to define the character arc of your protagonist, right? So if you get these eight steps right, your story will include one, if not the most important element, the story arc, right? Where the protagonist goes through a change and is different by the end of the story. Now, this is huge. Why? Because I think a lot of new writers, like myself, forget this piece, right? We have this really cool idea for a story, and it's highly plot-driven, right? This huge thing happens, and then that huge thing happens, and then there's this huge plot twist at the end, which is great, but if all your protagonist does is go along for the ride, it'll be a meh kind of story, right? These are the James Bond movies of the 60s, 70s, and 80s until Daniel Craig took over. And then something changed. All of a sudden, 007 had a backstory. He had wants, needs. He struggled with things, right? Over the five movies, you could really feel this change that he was going through in terms of his career, his love for one woman, and his desire to do the right thing. Now, I'm not a story expert, and I'm definitely not an expert in the Bond movies, but to me, it was a night and day difference between the plot-driven movies of the past and more of a character arc-driven set that took the series to the next level. So let's look at the story circle in a bit more detail. On the circle, there are 8 stages, like we said, and if you cut a circle horizontally, you get 2 hemispheres, the upper and the lower hemisphere. The top or the upper hemisphere is called order, the bottom is called chaos. Each hemisphere has 3 of the 8 elements within it, and 2 elements are directly on the line between the two. So here are the 8 steps. Step number 1, you. Well, first of all, let me read the 8 steps in order because they kind of sound interesting as you read them in order. You, need, go, search, find, take, return, and change. See how they kind of almost go together in a sentence? That's very important because that's the way he is viewing this journey. So step number 1 is you, the establishment of the protagonist. A character is in a zone of comfort, the reader meets the new character, and what the ordinary world is for them. Need. Something isn't right. The protagonist wants something. You have to define the want, what they think they need to reach their goals. Go, which is the first one now on the line between order and chaos. Crossing the threshold, they enter an unfamiliar situation. The protagonist decides their want is big enough to leave their comfort zone and get to it. The next is search, also known as the road of trials, right? So the protagonist must adapt to the new world and the discomforts that they start to encounter in that world. Find, also known as meeting the goddess, the protagonist finds what they're looking for and they get what they want. The protagonist shifts to using new beliefs to get what they want, but it isn't really what they need. Next is take, meeting your maker. The protagonist pays a heavy price for getting what they want. The protagonist gets what they want, but they don't reach their ultimate goal. And it's now when they learn that their want isn't really actually what they need. The next one that's on the line is return, bringing it home. The protagonist returns to their familiar situation or the ordinary world. They move from chaos back into order and they reach the climax of the story. And then the final one is change, master of both worlds. The protagonist was changed. The reader gets to see how the protagonist has changed during the story for better or for worse. So there you go. Pretty straightforward, right? You can definitely see how the hero's journey is in there. It's just truncated, right? It's a bit shorter, and you can see how it really focuses in on the character arc of the protagonist, the change that the protagonist will go through from the beginning to the end of the story. So that's tool number 1, and it can only get you so far. I mean, that's a really high level way to plot out your story, right? For those of us who need additional plotting in order to really feel good about the entire story, Natalie suggests that we add tool number 2, which is the 4-act story structure. Now, I know, we have a 3-act story structure, so why are we trying to reinvent the wheel, right? Well, the explanation is really simple. The 3-act story structure that everyone seems to think is, you know, God's gift to the human race has a little bit of a problem to it, right? Well, it has to be a problem, and this is why. Every article that I've ever read on the three-act story structure breaks it down like this. Act 1, 25% of the book. Act 2, 50% of the book. Act 3, 25% of the book. See the problem? It should be obvious. The acts are not uniform in size or length. And because of this, many writers face the problem called the messy middle. Act 1 is amazing. You're setting the stage, kicking off the story. Then you hit the barren wasteland that is Act 2. And a lot of writers struggle in that Act 2, right? You walk into the desert and start looking for signposts to tell you where the heck you're going. You struggle, probably writing scenes that feel totally disconnected from the actual story. And then after you've written that, you find yourself in Act 3, which is back to Amazing Town, right? It's the climax. It's the resolution. It's tying up all the loose ends. So that's the problem with the three-act story structure. So what does the four-act story structure do? Simple. It breaks Act 2 into two separate acts, giving each an important job and making it much easier for writers to plot out their stories from beginning to end. So it's almost as if the three-act story structure was never meant to be a thing. At least that's what Natalie believes. And so this has become tool number two for her. She takes the high-level story that she defined in the story circle, and then she fleshes out a four-act story structure. And how do you flesh that out, you ask? Well, with story beats, of course. Natalie has an entire video on this. Again, links in the show notes. She walks through each of the four acts and describes the story beats that should be inside of each one. And after some digging, I realized that, you know, these story beats aren't just something that she made up, right? These are story beats from the Save the Cat methodology, a plotting, a story structure method that we talked about before, I think on one of our episodes where I talked through the numerous methodologies that exist. However, in order to fully flesh out the four-act story structure, there are a few additional story beats that she added to her final list. So without further ado, let's get into the four-act story structure with the identified story beats in each. Act 1, the setup. Inside of Act 1, you have the hook, basically introducing the reader to your protagonist and their internal conflict, their wants and their fears. A good way to do this is in media res, which is Latin for, I think, starting in the middle. So basically jumping right into the story somewhere in the middle, having a scene that kind of hooks the reader about the journey that they're going to go on. And then scene two or chapter two, you kind of go back in time and you start the story, right? So that's the hook, the setup. Huge emphasis on the ordinary world of your character, right? So the setup can be kind of a boring stretch where you're really trying to explain who this character is, where they live, what their world looks like, who their friends are, all of those things, right? Next, you have the theme stated. So shouldn't be stated in black and white terms, right? You're not just going to document the theme of the entire book, but you need to establish the theme in terms of your story, right? In terms of what the protagonist is doing, where they're going, and the high-level concept that's at stake throughout your entire book, right? So an example of that is heroes aren't born, they're made, okay? So, you know, if that's your underlying theme for your entire book, then somehow you need to get that across to your readers in that part of Act 1. Next, we have the inciting incident. So this is probably one of the biggest elements in every single story, every single book, every single methodology, right? There has to be a scene where there is an incident that shakes the protagonist's world, right? It changes everything. It forces the protagonist to decide if they want to get involved in something new or not. Next is the debate. So this is where the protagonist debates whether or not to engage in the call to action that we just talked about. And they're thinking through their wants, their and their fears. And at this point, they still don't understand that there is a need. There's something that they need. They just don't know what that is. Next, you have plot point one. So the protagonist crosses a point of no return. They decide to heed the call to action in a way that is irreversible. And then finally, you have pinch point one. This is the first reminder that there is an antagonist and that the antagonist is formidable. That drives you into act two, the response. The first part of this is crossing the threshold or break into two. So the protagonist chooses to cross into this new world. And then the next beat is the intro of B story. So A story is the story that you've already kind of explained, including your theme and where the story is headed. The B story is the story that's required to teach the protagonist the theme or the story that they where they learn what they need versus what they want. The B story is often, it often includes new characters, people that come into the protagonist's life to help them work through that that journey between what they want and what they need. Next up is fun and games. So this entire section basically talks about challenges that the protagonist is facing, learning the ropes, bonding with new characters. Some characters, you know, appear to be a lost cause. Others are more like mentors. Maybe there's characters that the protagonist looks up to. Maybe you have training montages. If this is like a, you know, an action movie where the protagonist has to learn how to fight or something, there's, you know, training montages, all sorts of crazy stuff and fun stuff happens in fun and games. And then you have the midpoint. So this is when something happens that really changes the game. It slaps the protagonist back into reality. There is an antagonist, and this antagonist is very strong. The protagonist has to stop being reactive and must figure out how to go on the offensive. Act three, the attack. First beat is bad guy closes in. So this basically starts with the fallout of the midpoint that we just talked about. There's progressive complications. The antagonist begins attacking the protagonist methodically. The protagonist has to use act two knowledge to push back, but really isn't able to defeat the antagonist at this point. Next beat is pinch point two. So pinch point two is another reminder that there is an antagonistic force. And it's a bit more in your face, right? It's a bit more like, oh, this is really bad. Next up is a taste of success. This isn't in every story, but it can be. It's typically when the protagonist gets the thing that they want, or at least a taste of it. And it feels really good until they realize that it's not actually going to satisfy them, or it's not actually going to fix the problem. It won't really get them the thing that they're really looking for. Next beat is disaster. So the protagonist's worst fear comes true. They fear that all is lost and they almost give up and throw everything away. Next is the dark moment, or what we know as the dark night of the soul. Basically, when the protagonist is marinating in their sorrow, they're beaten down. And it's this moment right before they learn the actual theme, right? What they learn what it is that they really, really need. And that's the last beat of act three is the aha moment, learning the theme. So the protagonist is reminded about the theme. They take it to heart. They switch their want for their need, and they're brought back to life in order to enter the climax of the story. Act four, resolution. Beat one, the revival or break into four. The protagonist is revitalized with their new understanding of the theme. They begin to function with this new energy and they prepare for the climax. At the point, the protagonist can, the protagonist has a can-do attitude and is really willing to do whatever it takes to finish the journey. Next is the climax. So the climax includes, what is this? One, two, three, four, five parts. The first is gathering the team. So the protagonist decides who they will take with them for the final battle. In some stories, this may just be the protagonist by themselves. Other times, maybe like in Harry Potter, there was, you know, three of them that kind of stuck together throughout the entire thing. In other stories, maybe it's an entire basketball team, right, that is going to face that final thing. So gathering the team, next is execute the plan. So in the revival section, the protagonist basically developed a plan that they would use and that they thought would work, right, based on their learnings from the first three acts. So they're going to execute that plan. Next is the Hightower surprise. So this is when the protagonist is hit by something that they did not see coming. So they put their plan into place, and then all of a sudden, oh crap, we didn't see that coming. Like, we didn't know that was going to happen. Next is dig deep down. So the protagonist has to find the power within them to overcome that Hightower surprise and give them that final surge to get them through. And then the last is executing new plan. So it's basically using the current plan, but with the new thing that they need, the protagonist knows they need to do, this new power enabling them to take out the antagonist. And then the last beat is the final image. So this is when the author returns home. It's your, as a writer, it's your turn to like wrap things up, to highlight the theme, to highlight the change or lack of change that was made in the protagonist, tie up all of your loose ends, and finish the story. Chapter 3, Now I Feel Even Better About My Decision. So there you have it. Yet another way to develop one of our big ideas into an actual plotted story. But the cool thing about this one is that I don't really feel overwhelmed by it the way I did with StoryGrid. This is something that I think I can really use, right, to flesh out the big picture internal character arc for my protagonist, and then to develop those story beats across a four-act story structure to really have a solid outline for the entire story. So yeah, at this point, I'm feeling a lot better about my decision to put the trilogy on hold and focus on this one story first. And then with these two new tools, I think it might just make it that much easier for me. So what's the plan from here? Well, first order of business is to inject my story into these two tools, which I've actually already done. Finished that up last week, I believe. And then next, I really want to rework my first three scenes to include a more catchy hook. And from there, I don't know, man. I think it'll be smooth sailing once I get that initial catchy hook taken care of. The rest of the story is just sitting in my brain. I just have to get it out. And the way that I'm going to keep moving forward is to get into a routine, right? That's just, I've always known that about myself. I need to get into a solid and consistent writing routine and just keep moving forward. So let's land the plane. Thank you again for jumping on today. As always, I hope you have a work in progress of your own, a big idea that keeps you up late at night or gets you up early in the morning. And I hope you're really finding your stride, making the progress that you need to make so that it comes to fruition. Isn't it amazing doing what you love, creating, taking an idea from concept to reality? That's where I'm at, friends, and there's no place I'd rather be. So that's it from here. Like I said earlier, there are, looks like about 8 to 10 links in the reference section. So if you are interested in any of those things, I've got links to the videos, links to some of the resources for not only the story circle, but the four-act story structure and the story beats that Natalie C. Lays out. So that's it from here, friends. Have a great week. And as always, keep transcending human.